Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior wood stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture. It repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Save big money at Menards.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. A lot of you may be off today, which surprised me.
Off, like a little off or off
no,
work?
Like my wife is not working.
I'm a little off.
My son is not in school. I'm like, really? What do we do on President's Day? Should you be in school learning about presidents?
I feel like I always do that tomorrow in school.
What do you do? What do you do? I mean, there's like furniture sales. Like, what do you do on President's Day?
You just take time off.
But like, I honestly, I'm not even like, you know, bitter that we're working and people are off. Like, what is the point? Like, what are you
appreciating the great presidents whose birthdays are?
You appreciate them more by not working.
To recognize them. Yeah.
Mm. So how much thought do you think people who are off work today put into the presidents, the past presidents?
I'm going to say
a good 10, 12 seconds.
Really? Okay, yeah. well, that's 10 or 12 more seconds than I thought.
Enough to realize why you're off today.
Oh, okay.
Hey, these presidents, Lincoln, Washington, they were good. Okay. All right, they did good stuff. All right, good leaders. All right.
I mean, Do you recognize them by pulling them out of your wallet? I mean, what do you do? Go spend some money?
You can, if you want.
That's usually pretty good sales.
That's the beauty of America, what those guys did.
There you go. I just gave everybody a built-in excuse to go spend money today. And you say, hey, it's President's Day. I had to honor them.
They created those choices for us by great leadership.
Okay. That was our homage to President's Day. There we go. Darren McFarlane, that's me. Willie Donick.
Hello.
That's him. Chase McCabe.
Nash Vegas, what's happening?
Nash Vegas. All right. Elijah Campbell behind the glass. Chase informed us last night that he was watching the NBA All-Star game when he got home.
I was. I actually had a nice little sports night after the Preds game. So I watched some hockey, Chicago-Winnipeg, watched the end of that game, and then I watched the end of the NBA All-Star game. So it was a nice little hour post-game, post-Preds. Enjoy those 5 o'clock starts, but I like the format that they had, especially, and I only saw the fourth quarter, obviously, but they were actually playing in an NBA All-Star game. It was there was defense, there were fouls. LeBron James was getting mad about foul calls. I was entertained.
Was he really?
He was.
Yeah.
He was. He wanted the $300,000 for charity.
So the first team to 157 wins? That was the rule?
Yep. So they, and Elijah can explain this format a little better than I can, but That's how you won the game. The first team to 157 won the game there in the fourth, and the winner got $300,000 for the charity that they were playing for. So Team LeBron, Team Giannis, they were playing for different charities. So that was cool to see them just have the effort just for that. But it was very entertaining. Now, how did they get this number? How did they get 157?
They got the number because the score by the winning team after the first three quarters had 24 added to the winning team score to get that quote unquote target score, which would be the one to win. In the traditional Elam ending, it's usually like 8 or 10 points. I know the basketball tournament on ESPN did that this summer. And after when they get to the 5 minute mark in the fourth quarter, they would add 8 points to the winning team's total. And then that would be the target score, and the first team to that number would win. And last night they did 24 to honor Kobe Bryant.
Well, I will say this, and I didn't watch the game, but that tournament over the summer, what do you call that thing? The $1 million
Just the basketball tournament, or TBT, I guess, for
right,
short.
Where you put in your team and you say, we're all going in for this money. The rules of that, you know, it harkens you over to a good pickup game, right? When you got everybody comes to the court, you got to win to stay on. You play to whatever the score is. We're playing to 11. We're playing to 15. But when there's a hard number to hit and you got a little bit of pride on the line, the end of the game is very, very interesting. And ESPN hit on that. That was, I actually just caught a couple of games randomly there. I find myself enjoying watching those games. So it worked well.
Yeah.
In the All-Star game, that's the only way you could get people to, you know, care about playing defense on the last possession. Hey, you know, it's game point.
And there were
hard
fouls.
You know, if you've ever been on a playground or a pickup game, the last point is hard to get. They're not going to let you shoot a layup, right, on the pickup game. They're going to foul the heck out of you.
And here's how it ended. So they set up Team LeBron. All they had to do was score, and they win the game. And so they bring, obviously LeBron brings it down. They run a play. Harden is right underneath the basket for a layup. I mean, and for some reason he kicks it back out to the top of the key. I didn't understand why. They get it into AD, and as soon as AD gets it, he gets fouled. And so AD's going to the line to win the game. He makes the first bucket. It's over. Well, he misses it. And he tries to play it off like he did it on purpose. I don't know. Then he makes a second when the game's over. So it ends on free throws. But this whole thing of having the last bucket, you know, it ends on a bucket, I thought was pretty cool. It's the buzzer beater theory. But they're playing hard. They're hard fouls. If I'm a coach, I'm nervous about a guy getting hurt. Joel Embiid's at the line just dripping with sweat. I mean, when was the last time you saw a guy break a sweat in an NBA All-Star game?
I don't know. I haven't been watching the All-Star game.
It's been a while.
20, 30 years since I've probably watched.
You sure he didn't get a Gatorade bath? That was sweat.
It was sweat. It was sweat. So, Listen, we all make fun of All-Star games and, you know, are they worth it and all that. I enjoyed it last night. And I didn't watch the whole game. I obviously was working, but I enjoyed the end.
Let's credit the NBA for adjusting. And where did they maybe come up with the idea of doing it? The NHL.
You're right.
The NHL really does a good job. They have done a lot of things with replay, with the All-Star game, that are ahead of the curve that other sports see and say, yeah, let's try something like that. The 3-on-3 is not the greatest thing in the NHL All-Star game, but it's so much better than what they were doing before, just playing a half game. Mm-hmm. It's not a real game. 17-16 was just so stupid. Like, why are we even out here? The 3-on-3 at least gives you something. And so the NBA maybe has found something here.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Just give me a reason to watch. Maybe next year I'll watch now.
Yeah, and look, I knew the All-Star game was on last night. It was on in Barrel House when I left. So I wasn't necessarily – I got home and I wasn't like, oh, I got to watch it. I watched the end of the Jets and the Blackhawks first because that obviously has some implications with the Predators. The Jets got that win. Very exciting end of that game. So I watched some of that, and then I'm flipping around. I'm not ready to go to bed yet. And I'm like, oh, yeah, the All-Star game's on. So I turn it on, and I was entertained. So I think a lot of people probably did that, and the NBA should be happy with the product that they had.
Vanderbilt was probably not happy with their product in Arizona. Not a great weekend.
Well, they really had all three games won.
Well, their bullpen, the closer.
Well, the best closer in the country last year blew two saves.
Two saves.
So that's and he didn't get great defense behind them. This is I don't want to say expected. They probably should have come out of there 2 out of 3, but they're gonna have some growing pains here as they try to figure out their lineup. We talked about it with Max Herz. There's so many young freshmen trying to figure out the college game, where they fit, what position they're going to play. And so I'm expecting some of these. Now, would I have said going into the weekend that Brown was going to blow a couple saves? No way. I would not have said that. But and this might be a good thing. He was so dead letter perfect last year. Eventually, you're going to have some games like that. You know, most of the hits he gave up were with two strikes. It was really bizarre. So I think they're going to be all right. It's February.
No, yeah, I don't just gauge anything.
It's a little concerning. I mean,
they could have won all three, obviously, but just, I don't know, strange. See them blow, especially yesterday, the third game. That was yesterday, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow.
They made four errors. I mean, they had eight walks. It's going to be a little time. They're going to smooth it out.
Hmm. Kumar Rocker.
He was fine.
Over 6.5 strikeouts.
Yep. Yeah. In what, 6 innings?
Top shelf.
Yep. 9 Ks in 6 innings.
That's unbelievable. He's special, man. It's going to be fun to watch.
By the way, he's a sophomore.
No, I know. I know. That's what's so crazy.
He's not even going to be able to leave after this year.
Yeah.
He'd be the number one pick after this year.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's going to be fun to watch his journey, you know, if he keeps on this path, which I don't see why he wouldn't. So he's just going to get better and better and better.
I got back in time to watch the last couple innings of his start. While I was watching the Vanderbilt basketball game, while Jerry Stackhouse was getting thrown out of the game in the green suit. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Oh, yeah.
So simultaneously,
brutal.
You're watching that game. And
did you ever have a bad shooting night in Florida, in Gainesville?
In Gainesville? I'm trying to think of how many shots I got up in my three games.
Have you ever been a part of a team that really struggled? The O-Dome?
I think of the three games, I think we were 1-2 in the O-Dome.
Okay. That was a rough night.
But, honestly, they were due for one of those.
Stackhouse is like, I've seen enough. I'm gonna leave.
And his point, I thought his point is well taken. He was frustrated. They were getting killed. And he may have, I don't know what the report is on Matt Moyer, but he may have lost another player for a while. Looked like his shoulder got popped out there. And I don't blame him for being upset. It was a hard foul. And if they'd just blown the whistle on the initial call, which they should have, then the injury probably doesn't happen. So they're thin as it was. They were going to have another game like this. But they've got some games coming up on the schedule that they can win if they play the way they were playing before that game. And they played much better in the second half when it was kind of garbage time. But I mean, we'll see. But I watched Kumar at the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
It was men against boys. Mm-hmm. It was really – now, UConn is a very good program as far as programs up in the Northeast. They're one of the better programs up there year in and year out. But it was just – they couldn't touch him. When they did make contact, it was weak contact. He was electric.
I just got a text from Ricky. Very, very bold statement, but he's going with it. Kumar Rocker will win the Cy Young by 2027. That's what he's saying.
Okay, well, what are the odds?
Let's make sure he
Music
gets through.
Music City Bets will set the odds. There you go.
A lot can happen from now until 2027. This Good. Is what I know.
I could be rich.
Well, wait a minute. You were saying 2 years ago to start tanking for Trevor Lawrence. So well, I think Ricky's cool. shares your enthusiasm
well,
about Kumar.
7 years. I was talking about a year.
No, 2 years.
Yeah, well, Ricky will probably say Kumar will be winning the Cy Young for the Reds. So,
well, they'll have to stink.
They'll have to stink.
They'll have exactly. to stink really bad to get him because he's going number one. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll talk to Predators head coach John Hines for the first time on this show. 11:45, this is what I know. We've got a pair of tickets to see the Zach Brown Band at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April 25th. That will be a hot, hot ticket. So you're going to have to bring it for Tewick at 11:45. We're going to bring it on the other side. Something Morning Drive was talking about that we will follow up on, about winning it all. What would you be willing to do to win it all? At all cost? We'll discuss on the other side. Yeah. Darren Donick and Jace, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I was looking at The Athletic. Athletic Minnesota. And it's the first time Bruce Boudreau has spoken. Former Wild coach. Bruce said, Bill Guerin said, I'm going to make a change. And I instantly said, are you firing me? Just like that. And Bill goes, yes. And I said, are you
bleep
blanking kidding me? Which we kind of said the same thing. Like, really, what's the point now? Like, why now? When you just kind of go on and ride this out at this point?
Yeah, I didn't really get that one.
Well, they call him Gabby for a reason. So one thing Bruce Boudreau will do is speak.
Yeah.
And so he has spoken.
I was not all you know, most coaches don't. This is how Michael Russo starts the article, is most times after a coach is fired, you kind of go away for a while. Yeah. You kind of lay low. You pick. You don't do a lot of talking. That was a really long article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I mean,
it's great. It's a good personal, you know, view into what a coach goes through when he gets fired. I mean, you're going along, you're in the fight, you're with your team, and all of a sudden, boom, you're out. You got nothing to do.
Yeah,
nothing.
I mean, you know, we all know Peter Laviolette. We've reached out, and he's respectfully declined, doesn't, you know, want to speak, and that's fine. Most coaches are that way. Bruce Boudreau, though, we know Will, and what was it, the 24/7 show when he was with Washington that has the famous rant that you have to clean up? I mean, he's just one of those guys. He's fiery, so I think that's interesting, and that he came out and said that stuff, but it was surprising. We were all surprised when we got the news and talked to Elliot on Thursday about it.
So every Monday this year at 9 o'clock, I've been doing a hit on Morning Drive, and today it was Robbie Stanley and Alex Apple, and discussion piece, they talked some about they talked a lot about the Predators and, of course, the Astros and kind of the fallout of that, and everybody has their opinion on what's taking place. And it kind of led them down this hole of, would you win? You know, do Astros fans really care? Kathy called in. She's a huge Astros fan. You know, in the end, I mean, really, what was their punishment? Public shaming? I mean, honestly, I mean, the manager and the general manager lost their jobs. But other than that, I mean, really, what has been their punishment? Nothing's been stripped. Nobody lost draft picks. Nobody's been suspended for 80 games.
The team got fined, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
They got fined millions of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, that.
But the players.
First and second round draft picks the next 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They did get the draft
first
picks.
And second round picks.
Okay. So they got hit with some
the next
draft
2 years.
But I mean.
But the players.
The players who did it.
Right.
Honestly, what did they get? Like the NCAA, which is stupid. I mean, I get it. We've talked about it. They took Louisville's crown away in 2015. They took it down.
Which does what?
They stripped Reggie Bush of his Heisman. They took it back. Okay, well, in the end, we all know what Reggie Bush did on the field. This wasn't about anything on the field. It was about what he was driving and what his parents were living in, right? It was all the stuff that was going off the field. Louisville still won it in Atlanta. Willie, you were at the Final Four. You saw it. They can't take that away. They can't strip away that memory. But it brought up, you know.
I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't there.
It didn't exist.
It didn't exist. It didn't happen. What
did you get your money back? No, you didn't get your money back, did you? No. So what would you do? I mean, Marquise is their Elijah behind the glass. He's a huge Dodgers fan, and he's like, you know, he wants to see one in his lifetime. He wasn't around in 1988. I remember it well.
Oh, I remember it well.
He
beat the Mets in the LCS.
Sorry. Bad memories.
Bad memories.
Would you do, if that's what it would take for your team to win it? I'm a diehard Indians fan. I've never seen the Indians win a World Series in my lifetime.
You forgot 1995, I would assume.
Well, no, 97's.
Or 97.
97 hurts way more than 95.
Yeah.
Actually, the last two hurt really bad. 95 was way easier to take than 97.
Because that was the first run.
Four years ago against the Cubs?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Because that was your first time. They hadn't won in a long time, and getting there was great.
Well, but they were never in control. Like, 97, they were an out away.
Right. That too.
Okay. Yeah. The Cubs, they were up 3-2 going home for the last two and lost them both. So, I mean, those were brutal. But the question is, would you, if that's what your team gets, you lose some draft picks, you get fined millions of dollars to billionaires. That really doesn't hurt, does it? And your players get publicly shamed. Would you do it? Marquise said no. And I'm like, heck no. Pick
of course not.
Team. Like,
if you have any honor, if you have any honor at all, then the answer is no.
But there are people that would be just fine with it. They're like, that's it. I'll take the championship. You can't take that memory away.
It's okay.
Like people who were there in 2017, you can't take anything away from them who experienced it. If you went through that as a fan.
I think you can.
How?
All right. Well, let me throw it at you. When you remember the home run chase of 1998, what comes to mind?
McGuire and Sosa.
Right?
The juice.
But how do you remember that?
Well, yeah, but it
because of what you know now.
But I didn't experience. I didn't take it in.
You didn't take it in 1998, the summer of 98? You weren't watching?
I was watching.
Of course I was watching. I'm talking about people in 2017 that were there, that took it in, that went to the parade, were at the games. Like, you can't take anything away from them.
My point
is, they lived the highlight of their life.
But I think
probably in that moment,
right? You can't take away that moment at the time. But what you can do is change the memory of how that thing is now relived. Every time you think of the home run race of 1998, it's kind of, yeah, I guess it happened, but it's tainted.
See, I don't
but
look
we were
at it
watching
that way.
From
you
afar.
Don't think, okay, come on. And Barry Bonds hitting, breaking Hank Aaron's record, you don't think that had a different thing than it would have?
I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth on this.
It's the same thing with this. In 20 years, when people look back on the 2017 Astros, they will say, yeah, they won it, but
that's the people in our seats. I'm talking about if you are a hardcore fan and you are a part of it, it's different than us from afar. Okay? We're watching it from – I'm talking about you lived it. In 95 and 97, I lived it. I was at Jacobs Field for every game. I lived it. I was there. I took in the memories. You can't. We're sitting here from afar watching it on television. Big deal. Nothing. We're talking about fans who spent their money and their time, and they have life experiences from it. You can't take. You're not really taking anything away from
them.
You're
not taking it.
They're not
away,
tainted.
But you're changing the way that it's remembered.
Well,
they can
I
tell you that they
the...
don't. But I think they will look back and you're like, there's going to be at least a large portion of the fans that we're going to. They have to have a little queasy feeling.
Let me ask
you about it.
Let me ask both of you something. If we polled 5,000 hardcore Predators fans, let's just say the ones that have been there for 15 years plus.
Okay.
And said, Stanley Cup, parade, the whole thing. You get to be a part of it. You're going to be in the stands. You get to experience the whole thing. 3 years later, it's going to come out they cheated. Would you do it? What do you think their answers would be? Do you think 5,000 would like, well, man, would love it, but no,
well,
no,
but
no.
The way you're
or do you think some of them will be like, you know what? That would be awesome.
But the way you're asking that question, I mean, you don't – you're saying that I would know that they were cheating. Or I would find out 3 years later.
Find out 3 years later.
I mean, it's different.
Like you would know nothing in the moment. 3 years later, you would find out –
Right. If you find out 3 years later, I mean, I personally
what if we found out next year that the Predators cheated to get to the Stanley Cup final?
I would be devastated.
Right.
I would change
right,
the way I remembered it forever.
But we all went through it.
Right.
Right.
But it would change the way I remember
now,
it.
I don't believe
that's a very big thing.
I don't believe in stripping championships because what's done is done. That doesn't do anything for me. Now, I think with the Astros that all the players that you know are guilty should have gotten 50 games to start this year. That, I think, hits you right now because you got busted, and so you're going to hit them right now. You can't fix the past. So taking a banner down, we all know what happened. We all witnessed it. So taking away something that's already happened doesn't do anything. You got to hit them right now. To your point on that, I mean, yeah, I would change, you know, me personally, it would change how I felt, but I would also stand by that I can't change the past. So now I would look at it as, oh, okay, so that means people are going to get suspended and this team's going to suck now because of what they did back then.
Lance Armstrong, at the time, we didn't know right? that he was doing what he was doing. But now as you look back on Lance Armstrong, it's a completely different thing than it was at the time. Nothing can change your experience at the time. I'm saying the purpose of these punishments is to change the way that somebody is remembered. And you don't even have to officially strip the person of the title. Like, Lance Armstrong's titles have been stripped. There are some gold medals from the Russians, who completely cheated their tails off in the Sochi Olympics. I mean, it's a widespread one. That's one of the worst scandals of all time in sports. So as long as when they get exposed and you know that somebody did that, whether you strip the medal or not, it changes the way people remember. That's the punishment.
Yeah,
really.
But
3 years from now in St. Louis, they find out they cheated to win it all.
It changes the way you remember.
There's a lot of those fans be like, you know what, though? 55 years I've been waiting my whole life. It was the best experience of my life. I was right, had a front row seat to the parade. I'll never forget that. I don't even care.
But you,
like, it stinks,
they care.
But
care.
I don't care.
They'll care.
I got to experience that in my lifetime. I'm just telling you, there are fans, there are lots that would be like, okay, but it stinks, but man, that was awesome.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, I didn't do it. That was awesome.
They'll care.
Let me ask you this. What do you think hits closer to home? You strip the title so you don't have the banners hanging anymore, or the league comes out and says, you know what? Fine. You keep it. But we're going to put a giant asterisk up on your banner. And so every time you walk into your stadium, your fans are going to look up and see that.
I don't think it matters, really.
That's why
people know. People
that's
know.
Fine.
It's been proven. Nobody.
But that's why you hit them now.
We still don't have. And this will come to a head again in the coming years when A-Rod comes on the ballot, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds. They're not in the Hall of Fame for one reason.
I know.
They haven't taken the records down. They haven't, you know, if you look at home run title, it's Barry Bonds. But it's always going to be looked upon differently.
And you brought that up. So 98, I was 11 years old and watching it with my dad. So it was obviously very different and I was entertained. Now that I know what I know, it does change the feeling. For Barry Bonds, I already knew then. Like, at that
right.
point,
at
we knew.
At the time, people knew. Yeah.
And so...
That was different. And that was different about Bonds than McGuire and Sosa, who at the time, we didn't know
right.
the extent of what was going
so
on.
So I was against it, and I'm also a Braves fan. So that factored into it. I'm like, no, I don't want this cheater being... You know, I still say Henry Aaron is the home run king. So they're different in my mind because we already knew... with Barry Bonds, whereas in 98, you didn't know yet.
The Giants season ticket holders that year that went through it and lived there in that beautiful ballpark every home game and watched it, they feel differently. I'm just telling you guys. It's a lot easier from our seat to sit here and, you know, say what we're saying. But when you live it as a fan, it's totally different.
Well, this is what is still processing in the minds of baseball fans as a whole, and probably more scrutinized by Astro fans. There were thousands of pitches thrown during that season. And then, you know, 2018, then what happened in 2019. I still would like to know how often they had the pitches. What was the system? How many games out of five did they have? Did they have pieces of the pitches
doesn't
in all
matter.
The games?
Doesn't matter.
Well, to some people it doesn't, but I think it will help in what you're talking about, Darren, for Astros fans. If you can rationalize that, well, like this is what Carlos Correa was trying to do over the weekend. He was trying to mitigate. He was trying to say, yeah, we cheated. We deserved it. It was bad what we did. But Jose Altuve did not get the signs from the trash can. And in the World Series, they did not give away their signs. We couldn't get their signs in the World Series. That is an attempt at him to be able to say, all right, here is the magnitude of what was going on. To some people, like you said, Darren, and Mike Trout basically echoed this when he spoke to the media. They cheated. Like, that's all you need to know. Like, they were stealing
signs. I don't want to hear any excuses.
I don't need to know what games and when it worked. It's like steroids.
Matter.
I mean, so.
Right.
If you take steroids all season, we know they didn't hit 400 home runs
that
in a season.
Right. That's the sin.
When they had 500 at bats.
That's the sin, is they consciously decided to do it. So it almost doesn't matter on some level. And I agree with this 100%. Once they made that decision to do it, then everything else goes out the window. But it is interesting. It is interesting to know how many times they knew what was coming. If I knew every at bat and I went to bat 500 times, that's different than if I knew 15 times or 100 times. It is relative, but a lot of people don't care about that. I do.
Right. I'd love to hear from people on this.
Because if I'm an Astros fan and I'm saying, "Did we cheat to win the World Series?" I would at least want to know, in that series, Is Carlos Correa telling the truth that they didn't know anything in the World Series because the Dodgers knew that they were up to something and so they changed the signs all the time? That's what Carlos Correa was saying.
I mean, Mark McGwire batted 509 times in 98. He had 70 home runs. So right. We know the steroids didn't work all the time. Does that change anything? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't
that's
matter.
Different. That's different because...
It doesn't matter. He didn't have 509 home runs, so it didn't work every at-bat. Like, we know that. So what difference does it make whether it worked this game, they didn't get it this game? It doesn't matter. The body of work is you did it.
I know. Well, on that basic level, I completely agree. But the steroids is a different thing because every time you go to the bat, go up to bat, you're unnaturally stronger than your opponent or a lot of your opponents. And as we find out, this is where the water gets muddy there because a lot of people were doing it. So, again, it comes down to on the spectrum. What can you live with? How much? What is it relative to everybody else? And I'm not defending the Astros. They will always be known as a team that cheated.
By the way, do you know how many times he walked that year?
A gazillion. Look at Barry
Bonds. Just take a guess. I just told you he had 509 at-bats. Try to guess how many times
he walked. 150 or something.
What's your guess?
Of number at bats?
No, walks.
Walks? I would say 120.
162.
162.
You think that's a lot?
So a walk per game.
Take a look at Bonds.
Barry was worse.
I think he had over 200 walks.
Yeah.
In one of the seasons. His on-base percentage was over 500. Yeah.
All right, we'll come back.
Like Little League stats.
More on this, John Hines at 11 o'clock. On the other side, Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So would you cheat, have your team cheat to win it all? Would you care as a fan? You know, lose some draft picks, your owner loses some money, and your team gets shamed by everybody. Would it be worth it? Just asking. 615-737 1025.
Call or text.
Call or text. Text away.
Jeff, what do you think?
Hey, good morning, guys. Full disclosure, I'm a diehard Dodgers fan of almost 55 years now, so I've got a biased opinion. I've always kind of been in the camp of vacating titles and taking down banners is kind of a meaningless gesture, but I heard a case made that changed my mind. I believe it was from John Feinstein on one of his radio bits one day. He was of the opinion that the World Series title should be officially taken away and vacated by Major League Baseball because in the history books, even though, you know, in our minds, we've all already put an asterisk by their title anyway, if Major League Baseball officially vacates that title, it's making a statement that this championship was won illegitimately. And to me, that means something. And I'm definitely not saying it should be vacated and handed over to the Dodgers. I do not want that. I don't think anybody on the Dodgers wants it. But I've kind of changed my mind on that, and I think that's what Major League Baseball should do. That's all I got. Bye.
Okay. Look, baseball's not afraid to... You know, I think that's what's so interesting about this case is baseball has not been afraid in the past to drop the hammer. Willie, you brought up right before we came on the Braves thing from a few years ago where their front office essentially got cleaned out. Coppola, the former GM, is banned from baseball for life because of the thing going with signing prospects, international prospects. There's a lot of tampering, cheating, backroom dealings involved with that, and they got busted. I mean, they got busted bad. So, you know, that baseball is not afraid to drop the hammer. But in this situation, I think people are, you know, like us, we're sitting here talking about what would you do, you know, if you're a fan and your team cheated but you won the championship, how would you feel about it? You know, the thing with the Astros is, okay, if you strip it, what does that do? You got to punish – the players didn't get punished now, which – I think is what they should have done. So that's where I'm torn on everything because I would have done the punishment now.
Here's what's noteworthy about what's going on right now. It is really something to see how almost to a man, the players across the game are openly barbecuing the Astros.
Oh, yeah.
That is so different than 1998, 2000, whenever you want to say the steroid thing started to fester.
They're not afraid to speak up.
There were a lot of people ducking for cover, and nobody was, other than Jose Canseco and Ken Caminiti and a few guys that blew the lid off, right? There weren't a whole lot of players in the game going, yeah, this needs to stop. I know what's going on. You know, they didn't have that. But here, every single person is teeing off on the Astros for doing this. That says a lot.
Well, with the steroid thing, would you agree that if, I mean, we don't know this for sure, but there was probably at least one player from every team.
Oh, more than one. Well, that's why they didn't do it, because they knew
this is a one-team
thing.
If
they weren't doing it, because it was already so out of control by the time it became something people would ask about,
right,
that either they were involved themselves in some way, and they certainly didn't know, but they could probably make an assumption that a pretty big cross-section of their own team was involved in it on some level.
Yeah, and
it was a personal choice for every player, but nobody would. There was not a whole lot of talking about it, I'm sure, when they were in the clubhouse. But this has become different.
Well,
they knew, yeah.
And that's where you're torn between, okay, the rules of the clubhouse, you know, the sanctity of the clubhouse, does it stay in here? And I think that was a situation with this, too.
I think there could be some rationalization back then, too, of, hey, there wasn't any testing.
And it wasn't a rule.
It was a rule, right? It was understood you don't do steroids.
But it wasn't like it is now.
There was no testing program. There was no real guidelines. Everybody knew. It was the Wild West. So I think people could rationalize, well, heck, there's no rules. Nobody's going to get punished. We got it. If we're not doing this, we're not keeping up. But stealing signals electronically, that is 100% wrong, and everybody knows it. You know you can't do that.
Right.
So that's a pretty easy one to say. You should get ripped for that.
Well, because
they made the choice. There was no gray area in that. You don't use electronics to steal signs during a game.
Well, and the players look at it too as you're cheating the game. Like the rules of baseball, the gentleman's agreement, however you want to put it. But steroids, I think, I mean, it was kind of the same thing, but it was just different because it was more widespread.
Good for Tony Kemp, by the way, coming out and saying, yeah, I had a chance, and I declined. And you know what? For us who know him,
makes perfect
not surprised.
Sense.
Doesn't surprise him.
Not surprised at all. And by the way, how many people have you come out and seen since he's made those comments be like, yeah, right. If they do, you don't know Tony Kemp.
Yeah, but people are still going to do that, and that's
they will.
Whatever.
But, I mean, you're not hearing the masses do it, though.
But
there's not articles being written Tony Kemp, give us a break. You know what I mean? You're not getting those. Are there people that would naturally have that reaction who have never come across Tony Kemp? Of course. From afar, sure.
It'd be like, you know, whatever the radio equivalent of, you know, cheating would be, and you two are doing it and I'm not, and I come out and I go, yeah, you know, I had the opportunity. Darren and Willie took it, but I didn't.
Look, I had opportunities in this business, and Willie, I'm sure you have too. I've had many opportunities to cheat to get where I wanted to be, and I feel just fine that I didn't, and here I sit.
Yeah, same thing.
I feel good. My head goes down the pillow great every night because you know what? I didn't cheat, and I had chances, and a lot of people in this business have cheated to get where they want, and most of the time, karma bites them right in the you-know-what.
Yeah.
Usually it gets them.
Well, this is the problem. This is part of the collateral damage for a guy like Tony Kemp, because I 100% believe him, because we know Tony Kemp, that he consciously said, I don't want the signs. He's probably not the only Astro. I think the more you read about this, this is Carlos Correa was saying there were some guys that didn't use the trash can. But it's all clouded now. So the people that did use the trash can ruined it for the people who didn't use the trash can.
Yep.
And not enough people spoke up and said, guys, we're a good team. We could win it without this trash can. We don't need this crap. You know? That's the shame of the whole thing. And I believe a
but
lot
you,
of...
You
do
know
you believe
that,
Carlos Correa with the tattoo and all that stuff? Did you read all that stuff that he said about Altuve? He's saying Altuve never used the trash can.
It's incredibly naive to think that would go on, though, in the moment.
Right.
It's the same thing with steroids. You think everybody in a clubhouse where there were a lot of guys doing it, everybody was doing it? No. But do you think the guys who weren't doing it went up and confronted the guys who were doing it? Like,
no,
enough,
it didn't
man.
No, it
enough.
Didn't that's their biggest regret.
Exactly. They didn't do it. Because that doesn't happen.
That is what all the Astros who have spoken openly, and I'm really intrigued about Correa, right? I don't know Carlos Correa. I know Tony Kemp much better than I know Carlos Correa. So when Tony Kemp says I didn't use the trash can, I believe him. Carlos Correa put a lot of stuff out there. He was defending Jose Altuve. He's saying there was not a buzzer, and here's why he said, "I don't rip my jersey off." And it was so crazy what he said about the tattoo and his wife and Correa's wife. It's so unbelievable. Maybe it's true. I don't know whether to believe him or not. But there is a ton of skepticism whether Carlos Correa is telling the truth or not. I don't know whether he is or not.
But at this point, you just kind of have to shut up and take it. I mean, yeah. I there's not really anything you can say.
Well, but we're commending Tony Kemp for coming out and saying he didn't
do it. But
should he have just said nothing?
No, but
you have a right to defend yourself if you feel like you're telling the truth. You have a right to defend yourself.
Yeah, that's fair.
Different. Tony Kemp's not on the Astros anymore, right? The ex-Astros who were on that team,
they haven't had
they're
a problem.
The one
right.
that they kind of can give it to you straight.
But I'm just saying, it's incredibly naive. It's just like if we've worked with, going back to this part, when you've been doing it a long time, you've worked with people who have cheated, you know, stab somebody in the back. That's any workplace. It's not just this world. It's any workplace. You've seen it. You may not confront them knowing what you know, but you also know how you feel about them. Yeah. I have zero respect for people who cheat to get where they want in the workplace. Zero. I may not confront them. I mean, see, that's what I'm getting at is you're not going to probably in a clubhouse. You're not going to be, guys, enough with the trash cans. Right. Enough. This has to stop. That's just unrealistic.
I know.
You can say, hey, the
manager didn't do it.
I'm good.
The manager didn't do it.
Yeah. To play devil's advocate, though, I mean, I think you do have to look at, and while I commend Tony Kemp for not doing it, at what point do you stand up and say, guys, what are we doing? Like, we're cheating.
Tony Kemp is not the guy because he's just coming over from AAA.
I understand. I understand.
Barely on the roster.
Right.
But.
Now, Bregman?
That's different.
You know, some of the guys who were their best players, if they got together?
Bregman. If he never talks again, I'm perfectly fine.
But all of that is a fair question, though. If there was somebody that wasn't going to do it and you know, didn't, why didn't they stand up? Do we know if they stood up? Maybe they did.
We'll come back, wrap up the first hour, Trey. We'll get to you on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Wow. Well done, Elijah.
Ace of base.
It's crazy, like the stuff that came together coming out of the break. Weird. Trey, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So, as a fan, I don't know how any fan could ever be okay with a team that they root for cheating. And here's why I say that as a fan. As a fan, we don't have a paycheck to gain here. We don't have a contract to gain here. All we have to gain as fans is pride in our team and their accomplishments. And if they accomplish something by cheating and then it comes out, that accomplishment is forever tainted. Forever. When I play pickup basketball with my buddies, I don't want to cheat because I don't want to win knowing that I had cheated. It totally changed. I mean, it's talked just like Chase said earlier about the gentleman's agreement. I mean, the whole idea of this culture, this sport, you know what I mean, in any sport, is totally ruined when you take that compartment, you take that part out of it. And so as a fan, I would rather my team be last place every single year and know that we're out there playing it the right way than to cheat and win.
Trey, let me ask you a question. What team do you cheer for? Like your favorite team, any sport?
Nashville Predators.
Okay, so to Darren's question earlier, if you find out the Predators win the Cup this year, and you find out 3 years later that they cheated to win it, are you still wearing that Pred sweater? Are you still going to the game? You still supporting?
I'm still going to be I'm still going to be a fan of the Nashville Predators because they're the team that I've been a fan of for forever, and I would hope. You know, and part of that is because I would hope that I would have to give them the benefit of the doubt that whoever was responsible for that, that there's going to be consequences and repercussions, and that the organization is going to make changes because of that, because of what happened. That's part one. Part two, though, no, I would not tout that we won the cup. I wouldn't get a cup. I wouldn't get any memorabilia. I wouldn't brag about that, because then as soon as you do, you talk to your friends. Oh, I've got some friends who are Blues fans. And I'm like, oh, we won the cup. Oh, well, yeah. Well, did you? Did you really? Yeah, sure you did. You know what I mean?
Right.
Kind of thing. And that's what I mean. And it's forever tainted in that way. But no, I wouldn't leave. I wouldn't no longer be a fan of the Preds. So.
Yeah, it's not really. Thank you for the call. It's not really about not being a fan anymore. It's just about. It's the upfront question. Like, would you be
not wearing the Stanley Cup shirt or something like that?
Well, I mean. I think that's a really interesting thing.
Would you tout and wear, your favorite Stanley Cup T-shirt?
Yeah,
your hat that says whatever commemorative thing.
I'd feel icky about it.
I'd feel very icky about it. Of course, that's the whole point of exposure.
Yeah, but to his point, you can't stop being a fan. If you're a diehard fan, you can't stop being. A fan.
No, I don't think you would either.
So why would you stop wearing their stuff?
Because you feel different. You feel icky about it. Like Jay said.
Well, it's like, look, you guys
about
know.
That particular championship.
I'm a NASCAR fan. So Daytona 500 got moved to today. Chase Elliott, I cheer for Chase Elliott. So let's say he wins the Daytona 500 today. And then we find out, a week later that they cheated. There was something on that car that gave him a little extra. I mean, I'm going to be like, he won, but I'm going to feel different. So to Willie's point, but it is icky. So I asked Trey that question because does it get so far where you just completely cut ties?
Do you think the Patriots fans ever feel icky? We all feel icky at times. You think they feel icky?
That's a really good question.
Because I don't think you can speak for every Patriots fan.
I think we know the answer.
I've been around enough. I don't ever get the feeling they feel icky.
They've
been caught cheating many, many times.
They have rationalized
Nick Ferris just
everything that they've done.
Do what?
I said Nick Ferris just actually tweeted about that.
That's a good tweet.
But they have rationalized everything that they did, and they have in their own mind said they bent rules, they broke some rules, but it was nothing that changes and makes you feel that icky about it. That's what's different about the Astros here.
Really? So much that the Ravens the game before were publicly screaming, hey, check the balls. So they felt enough to know that it did do something because they were saying stuff. Just like other teams were saying stuff, and Major League Baseball was. So I'm just saying, all this great talk we've had this hour, how many icky Patriots fans are out there?
They lost draft picks.
Right.
And quarterback
for
suspended.
All of us that act like, oh, I just feel so. It just. Really? Well, where's all those icky Patriots fans? Did they stop showing up? Did they stop wearing their stuff? Stop cheering? Stop being obnoxious?
Okay.
Nope.
I think a Patriots fan, and I know a lot of them, okay? So I have had this discussion
with
them.
So do I.
They have determined in their own mind, and are they biased? Yes. But you want to rationalize whatever has been done. You're defending your team. They, I think, can make an argument that whatever they did with the ball didn't really change the outcome of games.
Filming, press box shenanigans again this year. Filming. Warm-ups, like that stuff. So they were doing it
I'm giving you
they were bored. I know it was a documentary, right, behind the scenes.
I'm giving you my perspective of what they tell me. I feel like you do, right? I know they were up to some stuff, right?
Of course.
And what about all the things that we don't know about that they may have been up to in the dark arts?
Yes.
Right? They probably did some stuff. But
do they have a dark arts department, too?
But I don't think you could make an argument for the Astros, knowing what we know, that they didn't cross the line fully. Like, knowing what's coming from the pitcher, that is a 100% all over the line, can't argue for it. You can't make an argument.
I'm just saying, I have never met a Patriots fan that starts with something and ends with butt. They never go to the butt part.
No, they don't.
They don't.
Now, only deep down
so
do we know
all
if
this,
they feel
we think
at all
that,
icky.
Everybody would feel icky and, I wouldn't want to do it that way. Well, the Patriots have probably been doing a whole lot of stuff for two decades, And I have yet to meet the Patriots fan that says, yeah, but.
Huh? Yeah, they don't.
Where are those words? Point. Yeah, but. All right, we'll come back. John Hines, Predators head coach, on the other side to kick off the second hour next.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.